we are diving deep into how AI is changing the landscape of free
A
speech.
hot topic for sure.
It is, and get this, we're even going to explore a potential solution. It's called the law of intent.
I've heard a bit about that. Sounds pretty thought-provoking.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And the thing is, all these sources, they all seem to agree on one thing, that free speech is like essential for a healthy society. One source even compared it to oxygen for democracy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw that one too. And that same article also talked about how if you suppress free speech, that can be like a slippery slope.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they gave some historical examples about how regimes that restrict speech often end up becoming more authoritarian.
Makes sense. It's like they're saying that freedom to disagree is actually what keeps things stable long term.
Exactly. But then here's where it gets really complicated. Because they also acknowledge that unrestricted speech can be super harmful.
Right.
Like, what about things like inciting violence,
Yeah.
spreading, just blatant lies? How do you protect free speech while also protecting people from those dangers? Like, that's a big question.
It is. It is. And technology just seems to be making this even tougher.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like one article talked about how AI-generated deepfakes can spread false information.
Right.
That looks so real.
Yeah.
Imagine a video of a politician saying something they never actually said. Could completely derail an election.
Yeah, it could totally change public perception.
Yeah.
And it's not just the deepfakes. We've got AI that can write incredibly realistic articles and social media posts, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that article, it actually mentioned how these generative AI models, the ones that use self-supervision to learn, can actually end up amplifying existing biases
Oh, wow.
and create even more convincing fake content.
Hold on. Self-supervision. That sounds pretty intense. Can you break that down for me a little bit?
Sure. So think of it like this. Instead of a human directly teaching the AI what's right or wrong, it just learns by analyzing massive amounts of data, figuring out patterns on its own. The problem is, if the data itself is biased,
Right.
then the AI can inherit those biases.
Oh, wow.
That's why human feedback in the training process is so important. It helps kind of steer the AI in the right direction.
Okay, so back to this law of intent. Is that like meant to address all these issues?
Yeah, it's presented as like a possible solution. The basic idea is that every piece of content, whether it's a social media post or an article or even a video, would have to be labeled with its intended purpose.
Kind of like a nutrition label for information.
That's a great analogy. So the source laid out a system with categories like fact, which would need to be verifiable, research, which acknowledges that, knowledge is always evolving, opinion, faith, entertainment, art, and even unknown for those cases where the intent isn't really clear.
Wait, so if someone posts something as a fact, they'd better be able to back it up.
Exactly. And they even suggested, like, consequences for spreading misinformation disguised as fact.
You know, playing devil's advocate here, how could like labeling everything with its intended purpose actually help? Seems like it could just lead to more arguments about what label something should have.
Yeah, well, one source argued that it could actually help reduce the spread of misinformation.
Really?
Yeah, think about it. If you see a post and it's labeled as opinion, you're probably more likely to take it with a grain of salt than if it's presented as fact with no context.
That makes sense. It's about like making people more aware of the information they're consuming and
Nah.
encouraging them to think critically about it.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And it could also help to kind of rebuild trust in institutions and experts. In a world where anyone can publish anything online, it's easy to get lost in a sea of misinformation.
Oh, yeah.
But if there were a clear system for identifying credible sources and verifying information, it could make it easier for people to find reliable information.
Let's actually take a closer look at how those categories under the law of intent would work in practice.
Okay. So for our listener, can you kind of unpack what that is?
Sure. So basically, the law of intent would mandate that any speech has to be clearly labeled with its intent.
Okay.
And get this, the label has to be just as prominent as the speech itself.
Oh, so you can't bury it in the fine print.
No, it's got to be front and center. It's
Wow.
all about transparency.
So instead of just reading a headline or watching a video, you'd also see a label, saying, is this a fact? Is it research? Is it an opinion?
Right.
Almost like nutritional labels for information.
Haha. I like that. And the source actually goes into the specific categories they're proposing.
Oh, wow. What are they?
So we've got fact, we've got research, opinion, faith, entertainment, art, and then unknown.
Oh, wow, that's quite a list.
Yeah, and each one has its own, nuances and implications.
So diving into those categories is where things get really interesting.
Definitely.
Let's start with fact.
Okay.
So in this framework, what actually makes something a fact?
So according to the source material, a fact is something that's, verifiably true.
Okay.
It's presented objectively and it can be confirmed by, multiple reputable sources.
Not just like one person's interpretation, but something that's pretty much established knowledge, grounded in evidence that you can actually check.
Exactly. And what's interesting is, because this category is claiming to be true,
Right.
it comes with the highest level of scrutiny.
Oh, so there are consequences if you.
Yeah. The source material even suggests there could be penalties for deliberately misrepresenting something as fact.
That makes sense. You don't want people just throwing around facts all willy-nilly.
Right. Gotta have some accountability.
Exactly. But of course, not everything is black and white.
Right.
There are those gray areas
Lots of gray.
when it comes to information.
Wow.
And that's where research comes in, right?
Right. Research acknowledges that, knowledge is a process.
Yeah, it's always evolving.
Yeah, it's not always settled, so it's about presenting information as part of an inquiry,
Okay.
grounded in evidence and analysis, but open to revision
So it could change.
as our understanding evolves.
I like that. So it's like saying, hey, this is what we know so far, but we're still figuring things out.
Exactly. And that distinction between fact and research is really important,
Yeah.
especially when you think about how, new scientific discoveries or historical interpretations,
Oh, yeah.
they can change what we used to think were facts.
Things we thought were set in stone.
Right. The source material is really clear that those categories shouldn't be blurred.
Yeah, because they have different levels of certainty.
It makes you think about the responsibility of researchers.
For
You
sure.
know how they present their findings.
Yeah.
They need to be upfront about, what they don't know yet
Right?
and not present early findings as absolute truth.
Absolutely. Okay, so now let's jump to the other end of the spectrum. Opinion.
Okay, opinions.
This is where things get a bit more, well, personal, right?
Definitely. This category feels like it covers so much ground.
It does.
Everything from, your favorite ice cream to your stance on like complex social issues.
Right. It's all those beliefs and judgments that aren't necessarily rooted in, hard facts.
Yeah, it's acknowledging that human experience is subjective.
Exactly. And importantly, the source material says that this category wouldn't be subject to penalties under the law of intent
Oh, that makes sense.
because it's understood to be inherently subjective.
Yeah, you can't really penalize someone for having a different opinion,
Right.
right? That wouldn't make sense. No, and there are a few more fascinating categories in here.
What else?
One that really stood out to me was faith.
Faith.
It seems to recognize that certain deeply held beliefs might fall outside the realm of what's empirically provable.
Right. So things that you can't necessarily test or measure.
Yeah, like religious doctrines or spiritual experiences.
It's about acknowledging that there are different ways of knowing and understanding the world.
Exactly. And I think that's really important, especially in our increasingly, diverse and globalized society.
Yeah, to recognize that people from different backgrounds might have different belief systems.
Right, different ways of seeing
You see,
things.
so we've got fact, research, opinion, and faith. Let's move on to something a bit lighter.
Okay, sounds good.
What about the entertainment category?
Ah, entertainment, the land of make-believe and fun.
Haha, right, where the lines between reality and fantasy can get blurred.
Oh, yeah.
So how do they define that one?
So, entertainment is content that's mainly meant to amuse, entertain, or divert.
So that would be like movies, TV shows, video games, music.
The whole shebang.
Yeah, all those things designed to bring us joy, make us think, or just, help us escape reality for a bit.
Exactly. And like opinion and faith, this category wouldn't be subject to penalties under the law of intent
Oh,
because it's not primarily about conveying factual information.
makes sense. Now, art is where things get really interesting, wouldn't you
Okay.
say?
Art, yeah, it can be so subjective
It could be anything.
and open to interpretation.
Yeah, and multifaceted.
Definitely.
How on earth would they define that one?
Well, the source material really tries to wrestle with that complexity.
Yeah.
They define art as a form of expression that can actually encompass all the other categories,
Oh, wow.
but it's ultimately subjective and open to interpretation.
It makes me think about like a painting that depicts a historical event.
Right.
It might be based on facts and research,
Right.
but it's also filtered through the artist's unique perspective and style.
Exactly. And the source is very clear about protecting artistic expression,
Okay.
even when it blurs those lines between categories.
Yeah, because if you try to like dox art into a neat category, it kind of loses its essence.
Right. It's about that freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where does that leave us with unknown?
Unknown, the mystery box.
It sounds like a catch-all for everything that doesn't fit neatly elsewhere.
Yeah, in a way, it
Right.
is. It's for that content where the intent just isn't clear or you
Right.
can't easily determine
It's
it.
like those random memes or social media posts where you're like, wait, are they serious? Or are
Exactly.
they just messing with me?
And the source says that content labeled as unknown wouldn't carry any penalties under the law of intent
Okay.
because it recognizes that ambiguity is, part of communication.
Right. Sometimes it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got these seven categories: fact, research, opinion, faith, entertainment, art, and unknown.
Quite a framework.
Yeah, it is. But I have to ask, how would this actually work in the real world?
Right.
Are we all going to be walking around with like intent labels on our foreheads?
I hope not.
Okay, good.
But the source material actually gives us some real-world examples to think about.
Okay, like what?
Like, imagine you're scrolling through your social media feed.
Okay.
Under this law of intent, those platforms would have to label every post with its intended category.
So, like when you're writing a tweet or a Facebook post, you wouldn't just type your message.
Right.
You'd also have to pick a category from like a drop-down menu.
Exactly. Like, is this a fact, an opinion, or something else?
And then the platform would display that category right next to your post.
Right there for everyone to see.
Wow. I wonder how that would change the way we talk to each other online.
Right.
Would people be more careful about what they post if they know their intent is being highlighted like that?
It's an interesting question, and I think that's really what the law of intent is trying to do.
What's that?
It's trying to bring more transparency and accountability to the digital world.
I can see that.
Yeah.
But what about communication that goes beyond text?
Oh, good
Like
point.
photos and videos and audio. How do you label intent in those cases?
Well, the source suggests using icons.
Icons.
Yeah, those universal symbols we see everywhere.
Like a play button for video.
Exactly. So they're proposing intent icons, like
Cool.
little visual cues.
That makes sense. So, for example, a news organization could put a fact icon on their video report.
Right. Or a musician could use the art icon for a new song.
Yeah. It's almost like we're creating a new visual language.
A whole new way of communicating.
Yeah, signaling intent without even using words.
Exactly.
What happens when content is shared and reshared multiple times?
Ooh, that is a tricky one.
Like, let's say I share something that's miscategorized and then someone shares it from my page.
Oh.
Who's accountable then?
That's where they introduce this idea of a distributor.
Distributor.
Yeah, anyone who actively shares or republishes content, even if they didn't create it.
Okay, so both me and the person who shared it from my page could be held responsible.
Potentially, yes. But the source also emphasizes that the platform itself
Right.
would share some of that responsibility,
To make sure things are labeled correctly.
even after it's been shared multiple times.
Wow. It really highlights how much power these platforms have
They really do.
and the responsibility that comes with that power.
For sure.
Now, the source material also says that the law of intent could lead to a more informed public overall.
Right. It's about empowering people.
It's like giving everybody a new set of lenses to view the world of information.
Exactly. And not just on an individual level.
But on a societal level.
Right. It's about cultivating media literacy,
Oh, that's interesting.
helping people understand the different types of content,
Yeah.
how to evaluate the information they encounter.
So it's a pretty ambitious goal
It
to
is.
shift the whole culture of information consumption.
Yeah. Towards critical thinking and discernment.
I wonder if we're ready for that as a society.
That's a big question.
So here's a final thought to leave you with. Could something like the law of intent actually work? And what role do you want to play in shaping the future of information?
Those are good questions to ponder.
They are. We encourage you to keep exploring these issues, talk to others, and be active, informed citizens in this digital world.
That's the best we can do.
It is. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay engaged.
We'll see you next time.